To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Come on, Bob. For old times' sake, huh?
Harley Quinn, nice to meet ya.
Pardon my French. Fuck those fuckers.
Marvel character ever, but you should never meet your heroes because honestly, he's a bit of a dick.
Now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret, Captain.
I am inevitable. Hulk! Smash!
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Comics in Motion podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris Phelps, and my co-host and very good friend is Mr. Dave Horrocks.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Comics in Motion. What we like to do here is we like to review movies and TV shows that are based on comic books. Myself, I'll be reviewing from the perspective of a long-time comic book reader.
And I'll be reviewing from the TV and movie perspective.
And what we also like to do is we also like to spoil the hell out of everything we review. So if you haven't watched our choice of the week, then we'd advise you to proceed with caution. And remember, with an average podcast comes no responsibility. Now, Chris, we're hot off the press, or not really, but considering we've been doing like Blade and stuff, it's a lot more hotter off the press than that. And there's several things in this movie that are particularly hot. So what are we going to review today?
Well, Dave, we're reviewing the recently released... that got a tongue
easy
twister.
For you to say.
If only. It's got two names at the moment, but it's Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. However, it has recently been changed in the UK, at least in these last couple of days, to Harley Quinn's Birds of Prey.
Yeah, and so it's an interesting one, isn't it? Now, this is directed by Cathy Yan. The writer is Christina Hodgson. It stars Margot Robbie, Rosie Perez, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, amongst many others. And, what's his name? And Ewan McGregor, of course. Now, we're recording this about a week after it opened. And I'll be honest with you, Chris. I'm not sure if there's different agendas going on here. Obviously, you know, from the directorial to the writing staff, you know, it's very female driven. And there seems to be a lot of negativity straight off the bat around this, even before that opening weekend was over, about how disappointing it all was. And I don't, you know, I think that's directly led on to this change of name, because right from the, you know, the early kind of clues of what this film would be called, it's been, you know, that longer title, The Birds of Prey with the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn. And I guess I'm just really disappointed. We're in 2020 and you've got all this negativity. I mean, what's your perception of that? Because we haven't had a chance to catch up about this.
I think it's bollocks, to be honest, Dave. I don't get... you know me, I'm not going to mince your words, but I don't get what it is. Is it some sort of, I don't know, self-conscious sexism because it's a female-led film? I don't know. I don't get it. And what annoys me is you're looking at the reviewing sites and that, Dave, this has scored higher than a lot of the DCEU movies. So I don't get what they're after. Joker is not in this universe, but obviously it was an absolutely amazing film. You know, but this... Again, I don't get it. I don't understand what the problem is. It's purely got to be that, Dave. It's got to be there's some subconscious racism. Oh, my God, that's definitely not the word. Sexism.
Sexism, misogyny. It is definitely at play, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. 100%, Dave. 100%, because I don't get it. I just think it's just the world's just stupid. I mean, people, you've had the whole Me Too movement, which is great. It needed to be said. It needed to be aired and out there within the world and stuff like that, because of the way this has gone on for years, the way, like, you've got the sexism towards women and everything. You know, we've got the whole Harvey Weinstein thing. Surely people should be celebrating, embracing movies like this. What, you know, it's wrong. You're right. 2020. And we're getting a lot of female-led movies, but yet still people are having a fucking problem with it. It just shows how, I'm going to swear again, unfortunately, it shows how fucked up the world is, unfortunately, Dave, that people take it so personal with a movie. It's a joke.
It's bizarre, and they're comparing it to, like, other movies that have been released by Warner Brothers, you know, so this DCEU, some people call it, but when you're comparing it to stuff like Justice League, the budget is completely different. I mean, this... if you said all the movies that we've reviewed, we're on 111 episodes now, if you said you make your money back in opening weekend, I think most of them would snap your hand off for that, wouldn't they? So this is, this, the budget is somewhere around the 80 million mark. It's made just over 80 million in opening weekend, dollars this is. I don't get it. Why would this in anyone's mind be a flop? It's just, it does wind me up a little bit, to be honest, because this is, you know, there is an agenda here, I think.
Yeah, I do. I think it's really ridiculous. And look, comparing Justice League to this movie, polar opposites completely. But if you look at one of the leading actors and actresses in the Justice League, so you've got Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I love Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman 84. There was a trailer played before I watched the Harley Quinn. I'm sure you've seen, Dave. I thought it looks brilliant. I thought the cinematography, the colour, the palette, the tone, everything they've got right, the continuity of where it is looks amazing. And we had the Black Widow trailer. But I think even Scarlett Johansson and Gal Gadot, as much as I'm looking forward to the movies, and I really, really loved the first Wonder Woman, I really did, Margot Robbie is head and shoulders above Dave for getting into her character. Head and shoulders for me.
Yeah.
It's just, I think what she portrays on the screen, the other two, just not play it by numbers, but they're too serious. Where when you've got a bit of comedy and a bit of sort of nuttiness about her, perfect for me, absolutely perfect. And I think that's probably an Achilles heel for the in this movie that we'll get into in the review for that reason as well, because she's so good, I think.
Yeah, it's almost, when you've got an ensemble cast, it's almost a strength and a weakness, isn't it? When you've got one person who is just, I mean, she is Harley Quinn. And one of the things I like about Margot Robbie is the varied characters that she does play. And, you know, if you look at kind of what she was wearing in Suicide Squad, and her and Will Smith, I think we agreed when we went back and we looked at that, you know, those were the two shining lights out of that one. But I think she's kind of not toned down. It's still a bit wacky what she's wearing, isn't it? Yeah, but if you were to put her Suicide Squad costume, I mean, she's wearing practically nothing. You know, she's got a tight little T-shirt, little skimpy pants. And then in this one, she's wearing, you know, stuff that's not as sexualized. And actually, I tell you what, Chris, and I sound like I'm on the feminist bandwagon. I'm not. But I tell you what annoys me. I've seen, you know, various posts on Twitter and stuff. Literally, blokes calling out that this film isn't sexy enough. And then, to be honest, there's all kinds of cheesecake bloody images and drawings of Harley Quinn, to be honest. And this one bloke, he had it, and it was like, it was a picture of Harley Quinn basically in a bikini holding a baseball bat, you know, down in between her legs kind of thing, all provocatively, and saying, you know, this is what we got, you know, and a picture of Margot Robbie. And it's just like, I'm sorry, Chris, I like to touch on political elements in this podcast. But to that, I just say, fuck off. You know, fucking, it is ridiculous. Again, it's 2020. It just, I find it, you know, baffling, to be honest.
With Candy Crush Saga, the crush is real. For the first time ever, we're celebrating real crushers and their stories inside the game. Find out why they love playing, complete levels inspired by them, and win rewards they chose for you. For a limited time only, see why the crush is very real with Candy Crush Saga. Download now from the App Store or Google Play for free. Ends May 27th. Available to selected players level 25 and over.
No, look, I don't disagree, Dave. I think it'll be interesting when we get into the review in a sec what we both think. But I think what you said, Dave, absolutely hits the nail on the head. And we aren't that podcast, are we? We are just two friends who love watching and reviewing this type of thing. So it's quite interesting when you get a backlash on something. Sometimes it's warranted, sometimes it's not. And for me, completely unwarranted, Dave. So for that, Dave, should we get into our trailer?
You know what a harlequin is? A harlequin's role is to serve. It's nothing without a master. No one gives two shits who we are beyond that. The Joker and I broke up. I wanted a fresh start. But it turns out I wasn't the only dame in Gotham looking for emancipation.
Spectacular news! Miss Quinn, she belongs to me.
Who are you guys?
Here's the deal, Quinn.
You need me!
He's after all of us now. None of us are walking out of here. Unless we work together.
With you.
You gotta be kidding me.
Isn't this fun? It's just like a sleepover. We should order pizza. Big Cosmos. Harley, focus.
Okay.
Having a good time.
Get ready, ladies.
Oh, you're that psycho chick.
I never call a woman a chick. I'll accept broad, lady, woman, and on occasion, bitch.
Bitch? What are you talking about?
Hold that for me, will you?
Now we start off, our main protagonist is Harley Quinn, and we pick her life up sometime after the events of Suicide Squad. It's a little bit vague there, but she has this unceremonious breakup with the Joker, and she kind of hits the bottle a little bit hard, and then decides to blow up the chemical factory where... which was kind of their little love nest, and also it was known by everyone else. So she inadvertently makes herself the biggest target in Gotham for everyone with a bit of a grievance towards her and the Joker, now that she doesn't have the Joker's protection with her. So what do you make to the opening, Chris?
Enjoy it, Dave. I think for me, this is one of the best things, and obviously I'm not a comic book fan, but... going off comics or cartoons, I think this style-wise and colour-wise is one of the closest things I've seen to a comic in that respect, because I think everything about it is vibrant. There's all quirky little things going on, even the blood and the different goo that comes out when she's killing people and that. I really enjoy it. I'll be honest with you, I really, really enjoy it. I think Robbie, she steals every scene, Dave. And the only thing I think works against it in this opening is I'm not interested when other people are on the screen. I just want to see Margot Robbie there, Harley Quinn, you know, because that's where the story is. I know it's supposed to be building up this whole narrative of a team up, the Birds of Prey and that. I'll be honest, I couldn't give a shit about the rest of that team. The only one who I thought was pretty good as the backup, as a support actress, was the Canary. I thought she's great. Yeah. I think she's really good. But all the other three, I'm not even bothered about at all. I just think it's a good start. The only thing I would say, not completely convinced by Ewan McGregor, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, you know, one of the main people with a grievance is the gangster, Roman Sionis, and that's the Ewan McGregor character. I must admit, Chris, I started off and I was thinking, you know what, it's Ewan McGregor. I don't buy this at all. I think he won me over a little bit, you know, because he was playing a type of character that I've never seen him play before. But I just couldn't let go of the fact that it was Ewan McGregor. So I went into it thinking it was a bit of a miscasting. And I came out of it thinking, yeah, he did okay, but I still think it's a bit of a miscasting. Yeah. Now, I guess he, where I think he did portray, he's this privileged gangster, isn't he? So he's not self-made, really. He's come into all this money, and he is, you know, he likes to pretend he's got a bit of class, but he really hasn't. He's got this wicked temper on him. But he's, you know, he's got this club, He's got this. So Diana Lance, she's the Black Canary. She's singing at the bar. You get this early indication that she's, you know, she has got some lungs on her because she shatters a little bit of a martini glass there, and he's going to take his grievances out on Harley Quinn and manages to kind of kidnap her, and then he's about to torture her. But fortunately, we find out that Sionis is actually after this diamond, and for some inexplicable reason, Harley manages to convince him that she can actually be the one to go and find it. Now, we also meet Chris. We meet Renee Montoya. Now, I think I did... I did an episode with Bat Dan, so our friend Bat Dan 96 across on Twitter, and we looked at I think it was Gotham Knights, and Renee Montoya was on that. So, I mean, her character, you know, she's obviously this detective. Again, she's very much downtrodden by the men that are in the precinct. What do you make of her character? I know you've said you don't give a shit about it, but I mean, is that the start, middle, and end of it? The movie takes a bit of a dip when Harley's not on the screen?
I think what it is, Dave, it's Rosie Perez, who obviously plays her, is I have baggage with her big time, because I know this is really daft, but I love White Men Can't Jump. And she's Billy's girlfriend, Woody Harrelson's girlfriend, in it. And all she does when she's like, obviously, early 90s, is she's there going, Billy, Billy, Billy. And this goes on throughout the fucking movie. And as much as I love that film, she pisses me off somewhat rotten in that movie. And I'm not, I know it sounds stupid, that's the baggage. However, I think she's completely miscast here. I do not buy any of her performance, not because of what I've just said at all. I'm just not, she just feels like she's the mum of everyone. And I don't know, I'm not necessarily saying age should matter in this, because it shouldn't. She's a seasoned detective and that. But I just don't buy her performance, Dave, at all. I just don't get that she's this kick-ass detective. It just never comes across on screen. I think the story's a little cliche that she's been overlooked and her partner is now the captain, and he's like the one who's getting all the recognition for everyone's hard work, and it's a bit of a theme that plays up. I just don't know. I don't know what you think, Dave, but I'm just not convinced by her at all.
No, I mean, I'm not massively bought in. Now, what I would say is, so if we look at the recent change within Warner Brothers, they've moved away. You know, they were particularly burned, weren't they, by the whole Justice League thing, still people campaigning for the Snyder Cut. I've seen nothing to really suggest why that's going to be any better, but, you know, who knows, it might be. If Warner Brothers actually had it, do you not, and they could make some money off it, do you not think they would release it?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but they've moved more towards these standalone movies, don't they? Haven't they?
Yes, yeah.
But this seems to be almost a departure from that as well, because we had Shazam, it was pretty much standalone. They made a few references. We had the old head chopped off Superman, didn't we? So we had an appearance from Superman, but it was right at the end of Shazam. I think Joker clearly was standalone. They were never going to make a second one until it made a bunch of money. And obviously, Oscar-winning Joker now. Of course.
Yep.
You know, they're like, ah, well, we might make a second one. So, you know, but that's, I tell you what, with when we went through the CW Crisis on Infinite Earths, that kind of explained away the fact that you've got all these different actors, because of course in Legends of Tomorrow you already have a Black Canary, that's not this actress, but okay, I'm forgiving all of that Warner Brothers stuff now because of Crisis. But this idea of these team movies, these ensemble movies, Birds of Prey feels a little bit to me like they're trying to set that up again. It feels a little bit like Batman versus Superman. It's better, you know, I'll say that. I'll show my hand initially straight away there. But for me, because this is so Harley Quinn centric, everyone else does seem like a bit of a secondary character. I do like the Black Canary character, Diana, but you're right. It's all really about Harley Quinn. And I almost wonder, you know, Chris, would they have just been better calling this Harley Quinn? and introducing those characters. Because even if you consider something like Spider-Man, Spider-Man's got his whole, you know, ensemble, not necessarily heroes, but, you know Mary Jane's going to be in it. You know J. Jonah Jameson's going to be in it. Aunt May's going to be in it. All these characters. But they don't have a team name or anything. I just wonder if they might have been better to go with Harley Quinn as this is the title, introduce all of those characters, and spin off Birds of Prey later.
Yeah, because I think that's a great point, because I think what you've got to look at is this. They're doing the Suicide Squad with James Gunn, which is obviously in pre-production. They're going to start filming it sort of next year, or back end of this year, sorry. Obviously, I'm sort of jumping slightly, but there's a team there by the end of this movie of the Birds of Prey. I don't give a fuck about them, Dave. All I care about is Harley Quinn, where she's going to turn up next. I love Margot Robbie. I think she brings the character to life. It's a very, very good adaptation. I don't see many people slagging her off for a performance at all. But I genuinely, if they turn around like DC and Warner and say, we're doing a Birds of Prey movie, I'd be like, don't give a fuck, to be honest. It could turn out to be absolutely amazing, but because the characters that they introduced, other than the Canary, the other two, Huntress and obviously the policewoman, I just genuinely was not interested in them at all, Dave. For me, I'll tell you what it'll be. Sorry to cut across here. I'll tell you what it would be. It'd be worthy of a TV series, them three characters for me, not a film. I don't think they've got the pull.
You know what I think it is? And I should point out, I'm enjoying the movie, but, you know, I think, you know, what we're on now, it is coming across a bit negative. I think, you know, we have to tackle that as well. I think what it is with the exception of Black Canary, so Diana Lance, none of them really go through any growth, do they? Any character growth. There's only really Margot Robbie, there's only Harley Quinn that we see go through any kind of journey. And I tell you what, Chris, this reflected a bit in the comics as well. Because for the last God knows how many years, you go to a Comic Con and there's going to be a ton of Harley Quinns, there'll be a ton of Poison Ivies and Batwomen as well. Those are usually the three that reoccur over and over. But so many Harley Quinns. This was even before Suicide Squad. And you know, they occasionally, if they come along with their boyfriend, the boyfriend's dressed up as the Joker because they're known as this couple. But what a fucking toxic, you know, in every way, couple they are. And he's hugely abusive to her. So I think, you know, she has been a bit more separate to him in recent years. So I think it is a good thing that they made this split in this movie. And I kind of hope they continue with that. Obviously, their paths are going to cross again. But again, I just don't think it's not a healthy relationship. You know, if you're looking at models, you know, role models for people to follow and stuff, I think she has evolved into a bit of an anti-hero, starting out very much as a villain, but I think due to popularity she is in that space now. But like Black Canary, she goes through a bit of a moment, doesn't she, because she could walk off, you know. Harley's absolutely hammered at the bar and about to be taken off. Obviously not good things are going to happen there, so she steps up, you know, she decides not to walk off, kicks these guys' asses. And she's also, later on, when she finds out about the diamond and whatever, she brings that into Renee Montoya as well. So we see her, you know, just playing a part in the club and then stepping up and kicking some ass. We find out a little bit about the Huntress. So, you know, I don't think you've watched Scott Pilgrim, have you? But the actress was in that as well. So Mary Elizabeth Winstead. She, we find a bit about her as a child and what's happened to her family and everything. And then she's come into terms slightly with the superhero life, isn't she? Because everyone's kind of making up their own name. What is it? The Crossbow Lady or something. And she's like, no, it's the Huntress. It's like, yeah, no one calls you that. So I like that she's a bit quirky. But in her adult form, we don't see her go through any character growth at all. We don't see Renee Montoya go through any character growth. So they all just kind of gather together, and it's in the final act, isn't it? It's in the last bit of the movie that they actually kind of team up. So I think that's what probably leaves you a little bit cold in terms of like really caring about this team, because they've not done a lot on the screen to make us care.
And you know what, Dave, that is an absolute fantastic point. I totally get it. I mean, the movie runs for like it's about 10 minutes short of 2 hours, and usually we always say the sweet spot, don't we, is about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure they could have done too much more with what we got, because it's like you say, you're totally right. We've sort of drew on the negatives. That's probably going to be my fault, really, for drawing on them. But the film itself is great. There's loads going on, and Dave, there's loads of standout moments where I was wincing like, fuck me. The violence at times is unbelievable. You know, some of the stuff that's going on is great to see. You know, like, it really is an R-rated movie, this, and not just by a couple of things. Literally the whole tone of the movie, somebody's getting decapitated or something, isn't there? It's proper violent. And I think the one thing, I mean, I'm going to pick a negative. The only thing that I can pick on that did jar with me slightly was, as much as I like the Black Canary, the girl who played, and I don't know if it's her fault or the choreographer, it was very close to Iron Fist at times, Dave. It seemed too choreographed. Margot Robbie's totally believable in what she does, the baseball bat she has, just different props and that. She doesn't really go one-on-one fighting, as in fist fighting, but when it came to one-on-one fighting, the Black Canary especially, it did feel like it was off. It just felt like all the time we were just watching a capoeira, a bit of a dance thing, Dave. I don't know whether you picked up on it, but she seemed really, really stiff to me. Whereas the Huntress and Rosie Perez was all right, but that just jarred with me slightly.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't pick up on that at all, to be honest. And obviously, you know, I think a lot of the stuff that Margot Robbie was doing was CGI, wasn't it? Now, when she's doing the flips and high kicks and all that sort of stuff, that was definitely, you know, maybe it was a stunt woman or something, and they superimposed her face. I'm not quite sure how they did it, but it just wasn't physically possible, I don't think, for her to do a lot of that stuff. And maybe they just kind of didn't bother to invest that for the Black Canary character. But I think what you said before is absolutely, the colours just pop out of the screen, don't they? And I loved the when she goes, because obviously, you know, Cassandra Cain, so who's actually Batgirl in the comics, Chris. So yeah. Again, I don't know whether she's going to grow up and take on that persona in a few years or what have you. But, you know, she ends up with this diamond. She swallows it. I keep calling her Margot Robbie. So Harley Quinn goes and she wants to kind of break her out of prison, but when she's got all the gun with the confetti and everything, it just looked phenomenal to me. Just again, all the colors, the shower of colors across the screen, like you say, it's so vibrant, and it just felt like a comic book on the screen. I agree.
Yeah, I did like the fight in the police station, especially when she's in the sort of lost property repossessed area, and she pulls a baseball bat, doesn't she, off the side, Dave. Little nod there to the cartoons and that. I really, really enjoyed that. I thought the whole fighting and the cinematography of it was great. I mean, Robbie, Dave, she's stunning in this. I know she's not supposed to be stunning. They do the best to make her look dishevelled, and she's run down because obviously everyone's after her now that the Joker's, she ain't got the Joker's protection. She's still a beautiful looking girl, Dave. She really is a lovely looking woman. And I think that's where, with her, everything she does has a real oomph behind it, a believability, not just because I think she's pretty. I just think her acting is on a different level to everyone. And like you said about Ewan McGregor, he's good. I actually think his henchman is better, to be honest, Dave. Azar, is it? I think he's he's better. He was more menacing. He actually believed in him. When he came on the screen, I was like, oh, he's a right bastard, him. I genuinely thought, Victor Zsasz, he was called,
Victor,
wasn't he?
Zsasz.
But I genuinely believed in him more than I did in Ewan McGregor. even though there was some weird relationship going on between him and Ewan McGregor, it was very bizarre, wasn't it? He always seemed like he was going to attack somebody in that, but interesting subplot.
You know what? I think they push the R rating in certain moments, don't they? And, you know, it's fairly early on when we get to meet Ewan McGregor's character, Roman Sionis, and, you know, like you say, Victor Zsasz, and he's cutting that family's face off.
God, yeah.
I mean, straight away, because I go into some of these things and I think, you know, like my eldest now is 14 and I'm thinking, okay, you know, depending on how it is, I might sort of bring her along if she really wants to see it. That comes up and I'm like, right, nope. No way.
but
the bits like the moment in the police station where she's got these confetti gun pellet things, I'm thinking, well, that's all very PG, isn't it? And I just wonder as well, you know, coupling it up with the whole box office discussion, I just wonder, did this really have to be an R rating? You know, I think the violence is what it is, and like we're old enough so we can get in and it's fine. But again, there aren't that many female driven or female led comic book movies. And I guess, you know, with like Deadpool and Logan and stuff, we've got tons of superhero movies where, you know, they're PG-13 or even PG. I just think for me, I must admit, I was thinking kind of halfway through this. I think I'd have preferred it to be like a PG-13, and then I could have brought my daughters along to it.
Yeah, and you know what, Dave? I haven't thought about this. This is only as you are talking about it, but your description is very good. You know, as you're saying it now, I think standing back and listening to what you've said and obviously having hindsight of watching it, it's very much a bit like Titans, isn't it? So Titans goes from Smallville, where they're having these ridiculous pubescent adolescent non-dramas about nothing, to when the violence is on the screen, it goes to an R rating straight away. You go for like people getting their fucking heads decapitated and arms chopped off and everything, but the actual build-up to it does not indicate that it's an R-rated series. It just goes from fucking 1 to 1,000 like in an instant, and that's very much what you're saying about this. The shock factor is there literally every time there is some sort of confrontation of violence, every single time. I think that's a great point. And I do think you're right. They could have got away with still delivering the movie with a violent tone a la Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, things like that, without having to go down that route.
Yeah, I think so. And you're absolutely right. I hadn't thought of the Titans link, but, you know, very early on in that series 1, you've got Dick Grayson, you know, scraping someone's face along broken glass. And then, like you say, it almost goes into Smallville. So the tone is just up and down, I think, in some of these Warner Brothers properties. And again, you're talking different directors and stuff. But of all the things that we watch and review, it seems odd that, you know, you've got two Warner Brothers properties where you do have this tone up and down there.
It's a good point. I'd love to know what people listening think as well, because it's just really interesting the way they've done this, Dave. And I think because of how good the MCU has been, I know not every movie has hit it out the park. I'm not saying that 22, 23 movies, there was some absolutely god-awful movies, because there was the odd duffer there, you know, especially the 4 and, you know, the second Avengers wasn't the best, was it? You know what I mean? Age of Ultron, it didn't score very highly. But as an overall package, I still think, despite Margot Robbie, Harley Quinn stealing both movies, like say Suicide Squad, her and Will Smith were absolutely brilliant in Suicide Squad, despite what people thought of the film, I still enjoy it to this day. But individually, they have some great characters, but as a collective, as a movie, they just don't completely hit it out. I mean, the Joker was fucking phenomenal, but totally different movie, completely. The only thing was, it was a DC property with a couple of references to Bruce Wayne, and you know, so I think it was, wasn't it? You know, and this
it was
is
like
again
King,
like
King of Comedy, just happens to be the Joker, don't it?
yeah, exactly. You're so right. But this again, it's brilliant. Brilliant movie, and I would definitely watch it again, but there's just something not completely viable in it. And I can't put my finger on why, Dave. I come out of the cinema thinking, yeah, I've enjoyed that, but not to the detriment where I'm like absolutely going, oh my God, that is the best thing I've ever seen. I just wanted more of Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, to be honest, over anything that I'd seen in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. But what I wanted to bring up actually was, again, being bought into Ewan McGregor. I think from that early scene where they're slicing people's faces off, and you get this kind of up and down, and the relationship actually between him and Victor Zsasz, it's a little bit ambiguous about, you know, how much of a bromance this actually is. But I think it's there was a tense scene. So I can't remember exactly. Was it, did he find out the diamond's gone missing or something like that? And he's in the club, and then the woman starts laughing, and she's just laughing at something else. But he's got it in his head that she's laughing at him, you know. And this is just someone who's in the club, and you know, he's getting her to undress and getting her partner to cut the dress off and telling her to dance on the table and stuff. That scene was so uncomfortable to watch, but that's for me one of the places where I kind of forgot it was Ewan McGregor, and there he sold it for me.
That's a good point, actually, Dave, because I was the same watching that, thinking, I just kept looking at her boyfriend thinking, well, do something then, do something, because you're not going to, no one would normally stand there, but this guy's got the power and he's the Black Mask. He's not as fearless or as fearful as the Joker, but he's a pretty close substitute, Dave, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because even he is wary of the Joker, Dave, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's only when all bets are off, basically, Harley's sort of halo and ring of destruction, invincibility is wavered when she goes around telling everyone they split up, and then everyone's like, right, it's open season on that. We're going to get her now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think it's a strange thing. I was expecting a lot from the Black Mask, thinking he had superpowers, but we don't see any. I mean, does he have them in the comics, Dave, or is he purely just somebody who puts a mask on?
Just puts the mask on. I'll be honest, Chris, never read any of him.
All right, okay. Because he doesn't show anything, does he?
So I think the main thing for him, or Roman Sionis, is that he is this criminal mastermind. You know, think of someone like Kingpin. But when he does have his black mask on, then he's got some kind of mind control powers as well. But, I mean, in this, he's basically just, he's the godfather, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, that's it, yeah. I suppose his character is quite similar to the Scarecrow, Dave, in Batman. You know, in Batman Begins.
Yeah, but, I mean, he had his kind of, what do you call it, like there was that mist, wasn't there? You know, so he blew mist at someone, and then that, it was an intoxicant, wasn't it? Or toxicant, whatever, I don't fucking know. So he had the mask, but he was just a dude in a mask, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was only when he gave someone this fear toxin. That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In Batman Begins, and they were going to put all the stuff through Gotham. That was it. I tell you what, Chris. I mean, before we get kind of into the final scene, I think there's probably a couple of things I want to just touch on. Again, it seemed a bit messy in some of the movie, and I don't quite know why that was. But when Harley takes Cassandra Cain back and they're having a little bit of a bonding moment, you know, she's got her eating all kinds of having hot spicy food and prune juice and all this sort of stuff to try and get her to poop out the diamond. What I found odd was the police knock on her door. And then from outside, someone else who's got a grievance with her throws a kind of explosive device through the window. And that's when you get the hyena kind of running towards it, and they don't know where it is. And then they're kind of mourning for this hyena. I'm like, all right, but what happened to the police that were knocking on the door? Because they just walk out, you know, down at the bottom, and she finds out her landlord has basically shopped her in. You know, he admits it, he's made loads of money so he can go out and buy a new restaurant now, and actually a good one. But I was just left wondering, like, well, The police were literally just knocking at your door. Where are they?
Yeah. I'd love to say, Dave, but I don't know.
I was trying to think. I was like, did they get blown up? No, I think because the bomb went like nowhere near the door. And I just... The reason I bring that particular thing up is I wonder if there was a lot of kind of editing in on this, you know, and maybe reshoots as well, because it just doesn't make sense that you would jump from that to that and then these policemen just poof, they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone. Yeah. And you know what? It's funny because I think from here, obviously, we get this, like say we get towards the end of the movie, we get this chase, don't we, with the black mask and that. And sorry, the Black Mask and his cronies, this is where we get the team up, don't we, where the Huntress comes in and she kills, is it Zaz, he gets killed, doesn't he? And this is where they all sort of get together and it's like, right, you know, we're going to have to work together and in like this fairground, aren't they, and that, and Black Mask turns up with all his henchmen. That felt, Dave, very much like Batman and Robin with George Clooney and Chris O'Donnell when Arnie's there. And they were fighting in that weird closed set where there's all these like fairground, like the skate. I mean, I know Harley Quinn wears the skates in that cartoon, but she puts the skates on and even the canary laughs going, how has she changed her shoes so quickly?
I did like that.
Yeah, I did like that. But it felt like that. It felt like that weird sort of the way they were fighting and going down slides and that. It was very similar to me.
It was, wasn't it? And so, again, that for me is, that's where the tone's a little bit all over the place. I think... You know what else didn't help it as well? I think, you know, you've got Black Mask and all his cronies with the masks on and everything, but then you've got these muscle-bound men as well, you know, and they're running in there. They're a bit like Bane. I think them running in there, that's what it gives it, that Batman and Robin feel.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. You're probably right. And I think what I found bizarre with the whole Black Mask character, Ewan McGregor plays this like we're watching Batman 66. So he doesn't really get involved in any of the fighting, a bit like the Penguin and stuff. He stands there and sends his guys in, but doesn't do anything. Because I was waiting for this big sort of showdown with Harley Quinn where, obviously, Ewan McGregor, he's not massive. He's not Bane or anything like that. He's a normal-looking guy. Like you say, a Lex Luthor-type character. He's got something about him. He uses his brain. But you're still thinking, there's going to be something here. He's going to give her a good kick in, or they're going to have a fight to the death. And there isn't, is there? He just sort of, she chases her, chases him on the back of the bike that the Huntress is driving because he gets away. And he's in that lovely roller, by the way. The roller's lovely that he's driving, but he's in the roller. She sort of goes with his henchmen and she ends up killing him and all that. And then they end up on this, the actual edge of like this pier where she's got Cassandra Cain, hasn't he? And he's moving and there's all these weird statues. But he gets taken out pretty easy, and it's just like there's no tension to the end. That's the only, and I didn't think I'd be doing this, Dave, because I really enjoyed the movie. But when we talk about it now, there's a lot of emptiness to the movie that was totally unnecessary at times. As much as I loved it, it was just some weird, like you said, it was all over. There was just some weird things going on that Ewan McGregor gets blown up, but the payoff for him blowing up is pretty shit. It's not like there's any battle there or any sort of worry. You just know that he's going to get taken out at some point. I was a bit disappointed with that bit, to be honest.
Yeah, they just didn't really stick the landing at the end, did they? Again, it felt a little bit contrived. We'd seen these different characters, they'd been on screen for a little bit of time, but then the girls all end up, you know, having to get together. It's all quite convenient, and then, you know, you've got this weird kind of Batman and Robin / Batman 66 fight at the end. Again, I thought some of the action was pretty good. I tell you what, Chris, one of your favourite movies, I think, has had a big influence on this one, though. As well as the comic book movies, what I'd have to say is, having only watched Tank Girl last year, and that was obviously a different level of budget and what have you, but that has definitely influence this movie. Just the way kind of Harley is. I mean, I think I'd said when we watched Tank Girl that, you know, clearly there's an influence to the Harley Quinn that we know kind of today. But I think the way she kind of, she looked out on a lot of things, you know, she didn't, she didn't overcome obstacles through pure skill or anything. You know, it was very lucky. And again, just a lot of it felt quite Tank Girl, but not more so. That I think it was when Sionis sort of knocks her out and we go into this little dance scene where she's sort of dressed up Marilyn Monroe style. Again, things like that just felt very Tank Girl for me. So I know you hated that one, and obviously we've been discussing some of the negatives around this, but it is interesting that you hated that one so much, but you're quite enjoying this one.
Maybe it was Mark or Robbie Dave, I'm not sure,
I think, you know, again, it's a different level. You know, the action. Do you remember we had, was it Ice-T dressed as a mutant kangaroo in Tank Girl?
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of low-budget sci-fi type of thing. But yeah, I do, getting back to your point about Ewan McGregor and how he's seen off, you know, it kind of, yeah, it doesn't really pay off, does it?
No.
And I think then you get kind of, it's almost like the end of Hill Street Blues or something, isn't it? So the girls are all together in this cafe. Cassandra Cain, you know, eventually goes to the toilet and they retrieve the diamond. And you're sort of thinking, oh, this is going to be, you know, this is where they all get together and, you know, become the Birds of Prey. Because, you know, I don't think I mentioned this before, Chris, but Harley Quinn's got nothing to do with the Birds of Prey in the comics. You know, so again, it very much is Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey. So I think the film ended the way it was supposed to end. You sort of led to believe that they'll all get together as a team, but no, Harley reverts to type again and then, you know, escapes with the diamond.
Yeah, she does. I wasn't expecting that, but I think she's too much of an anti-hero, isn't she, not to sort of, you know, not come away with something, I suppose. I think that's one thing with the movie, Dave. It sets and separates them pretty well at the end. I'm happy to take that as a hit more than anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good stuff, Dave. So, shall we go into our review?
Yeah, let's go.
So I'll go first today. Think great movie. I know I've threw out there a few negatives and that, but overall it is a really, really good movie. It's definitely something I'd encourage you to go to the cinema to watch. Margot Robbie is head and shoulders above anybody else within this movie. Her acting, the style of Harley Quinn, fantastic. However, supporting actors and actresses just don't buy into him at all. Some of the choreography is a bit off, and the way it ends for me is almost Batman 66, sadly. As much as the colours pop off, and a lot of, there's a lot of good things about the movie, it's just slightly off tone, sadly. So I'm going to send it right in the middle, Dave, to Hall of Justice. I think it's definitely watchable, it's definitely enjoyable, but it's just not up there with the upper echelon of movies that we've reviewed.
Interesting. So I think we see this quite in a similar way. I do think, having gone through and discussed it with you, Chris, I think I probably feel a little bit more negative than I did at the start of the conversation. But no, I think the thing is, at the end of Suicide Squad, you're just wanting more Harley Quinn on the screen, aren't you? I mean, it's not only Margot Robbie's portrayal, I think the character, I mean, she's just, obviously she's like the female equivalent of the Joker, and the Joker is absolutely in my top three, if not my top two comic book villains of all time. So, you know, there's a lot in the character as well, but it's definitely how she portrays it. I think what did jump out, again, that Tank Girl feel, kind of how we're bouncing between event to event, definitely came across. I loved the action in it. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was fun. You know, again, although it was violent, it seems strange to say how violent but fun it was, but it definitely was fun. And I think you're right. If anything, unfortunately, when you have one actor or actress in this case where their star shines so brightly, unfortunately, by default, everyone else fades a little bit into the background. I do wish that they'd have cast someone else as the Black Mask. Although in certain scenes, I thought Ewan McGregor did enough just to for a moment make me forget that it was Ewan McGregor. I wish they'd have chose someone else, and then I could have been maybe just intimidated that little bit more and bought into his character as that villain. It's like we always say, Chris, you need to have a good goodie, you need a bad baddie. And so he just doesn't quite hit the mark there. I think, though, again, for all the negatives that I would say, and again, we haven't touched on the music. I thought the music was good as well. I think I'm going to send this slightly higher than you. So you've gone Hall of Justice. I think I'm going to send this one to Atlantis. It's not the strongest Atlantis, but there's enough in there that's good. And I'll definitely be going and watching this one again. And I think, getting back to our initial, when we opened up this episode, I think I feel like I need to go and see it again, because I just want to make sure that we have more movies like this. And, you know, so I kind of want to show my support in that way as well. It's definitely, you know, it's way above where Tank Girl was. Let's put it that way, despite seeing the influences and what have you. So I just hope, you know, will we see a Birds of Prey spin-off? Maybe, maybe not. But definitely we want to see more Harley Quinn. And you know what, Chris, we looked a few weeks ago. I hadn't thought of this when we were going through our plot, but another kind of reference that I'll give is Daredevil 2003 with Ben Affleck. So that story seemed more preoccupied, less with Daredevil and more with just spinning off Elektra as a character, and she went on to have her own spin-off movie. And I do wonder if this movie suffers a little bit from that. You know, because we're so occupied in spinning off Birds of Prey, and there are lots of massive Birds of Prey fans out there, and I imagine there's a lot of them who will be, you know, waxing lyrical about seeing these characters on the screen. But I think if they'd have just made this a Harley Quinn movie and then introduced some of those characters, not even referred to them as Birds of Prey, I think we'd have had a better movie.
No, I'm with you on that. I think great review, Dave, as well. So, guys, if you want to get in contact with the show, at Comics in Motion P on Twitter, the Comics in Motion Podcast at gmail.com if you want to drop us an email. And if you get time, please get onto your podcast catching app and drop myself and Dave a review on the show. Just helps us grow and gets us out there. So, Dave, great review again. Really enjoyed talking about it today. Sorry for being a negative Nelly, but it's just the way I think I felt at the end. So we'll see you all next time.
Bye now.
Excuse me, I'm Eric Ventura.
Tony Xavier.
Go fuck yourself.
What in the...
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound.
Let's not stand on ceremony here, Mr. Wayne.
Would you care to step outside?
Come to me, son of Jor-El! Kneel before Zod!
Why so serious? Let's put a smile on that face.
I am Iron Man.
I'm Batman.
And he?
Whoa!
Hey!
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favorite shows, and this is one we think you're gonna love.
Why did Sacha Baron Cohen get chased by the Secret Service? What made Sarah Silverman stand by her friend Louis C.K.? How did Mindy Kaling miss out on SNL? I'm Matt Wilstein from The Daily Beast, and on The Last Laugh, comedians reveal how they're staying funny in a world that's falling apart.
As long as I'm laughing,
yeah,
I laugh at the things I say or anyone else. I just like laughing.
Next up, how everything changed for Nick Offerman when he became Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec.
Life was like, oh, by the way, things are going to get way more super crazy.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the U.S. and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.